సహనవోనత్తు సహవీర్యం కర్వావహై తేజస్వినావధీతమస్తు మా విద్విషావహై. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి.
విశాఖ 36-40 చాప్టర్ 3.
అర్జున ఉవాచ అర్జున ఉవాచ అతకేన ప్రయుక్తోయం అతకేన ప్రయుక్తోయం పాపం చరతి పురుష పాపం చరతి పురుష అనిచ్చన్నపి వార్ష్ణేయ అనిచ్చన్నపి వార్ష్ణేయ బలాదివ నియోజిత బలాదివ నియోజిత. అర్జున ఉవాచ అతకేన ప్రయుక్తోయం పాపం చరతి పురుష అనిచ్చన్నపి వార్ష్ణేయ బలాదివ నియోజిత. శ్రీ భగవాన్ వాచ శ్రీ భగవాన్ వాచ కామయేష క్రోధ ఏష కామయేష క్రోధ ఏష రజోగుణ సముద్భవ రజోగుణ సముద్భవ మహాక్షణో మహాపాప మహాక్షణో మహాపాప విద్యేనమిహ వైరినం విద్యేనమిహ వైరినం. శ్రీ భగవానువాచ కామయేష క్రోధ ఏష రజోగుణ సముద్భవ మహాక్షణో మహాపాప విద్యేనమిహ వైరినం. ధూమే నావ్యతే వన్నిహి ధూమే నావ్యతే వన్నిహి యదాదర్శోమలేన చ యదాదర్శోమలేన చ యతో వేనావృతో గర్భః యతో వేనావృతో గర్భః తదా తేనేదమావృతం తదా తేనేదమావృతం. ధూమే నావ్యతే వన్నిహి యదాదర్శోమలేన చ యతో వేనావృతో గర్భః తదా తేనేదమావృతం. ఆవృతం జ్ఞానమేతేన ఆవృతం జ్ఞానమేతేన జ్ఞానినో నిత్య వైరినా జ్ఞానినో నిత్య వైరినా కామరూపేణ కౌంతేయ కామరూపేణ కౌంతేయ దుష్పూరేణానలేన చ దుష్పూరేణానలేన చ ఆవృతం జ్ఞానమేతేన జ్ఞానినో నిత్య వైరినా కామరూపేణ కౌంతేయ దుష్పూరేణానలేన చ ఇంద్రియాణి మనో బుద్ధి ఇంద్రియాణి మనో బుద్ధి అస్యాదిష్టానముచ్యతే అస్యాదిష్టానముచ్యతే ఏతై విమోహయత్యేష ఏతై విమోహయత్యేష జ్ఞానమావృత్య దేహినం జ్ఞానమావృత్య దేహినం ఇంద్రియాణి మనో బుద్ధి అస్యాదిష్టానముచ్యతే ఏతై విమోహయత్యేష జ్ఞానమావృత్య దేహినం.
Verse 35, Lord Krishna talks about Swadharma and Paradharma. In the second chapter, verse number 7, when Arjuna surrendered to the Lord, he asked the Lord to tell him what is good for him, Shreya, whether he should fight in the battlefield as a Kshatriya or he should leave the battlefield and go to the forest. What is correct for him? He was confused. So here Lord says, Shreyaan Swadharmo Vigunaha Paradharma Swanushtitat Swadharmi Nidharam Shreyaha Paradharmo Bayavahaha. Directly he is answering Arjuna's question by saying, what is good is being in Swadharma, even though it is devoid of merit, even though it is not looked up by everyone, even though it is not that profitable. And compared to Paradharma, Dharma means nature, Swa means one's own, so Swadharma means one's own nature. Similarly, Para means other, alien, Paradharma means alien nature. Compared to being in paradharma, alien nature, even though if it is very profitable, even though you may earn well, even though it may be regarded well by everybody, respected well, etc., still better to be in swadharma, because deeply you will be satisfied only if you are in your swadharma. If you be in paradharma, you are imitating others for certain reasons, forgetting who you, your essential nature from the relative point of view. So it is swadharme nidhanam shreyaha paradharmo bhayavaha. Being in swadharma is shreya compared to paradharma, which is fraught with fear. It is even better to die in swadharma, he says. So we said every human being, every, for the matter, everything in this universe, you will not find a replica. Everything is unique, everything is original in creation. There is no replica that has been created by God. So you have a particular talent, you have a particular nature. You have to exhibit it, express it, that is where your salvation lies. Right? Rather than trying to imitate somebody else just for some commercial reasons or for some reasons here in this world, but deeply you remain dissatisfied. So he is basically telling Arjuna, your swadharma is kshatriya, warrior. So you should be on the battlefield. Like we said, being on the battlefield is where your meditation can happen for you. But if you ask a kshatriya, instead of, because it is regarded by everybody to meditate, and if a kshatriya is pulled away and he has been made to sit down and meditate, he can't meditate. In fact, his meditation happens when his ego melts in the performance of swadharma. So each one must find out what their swadharma is. And this is very difficult, because from childhood days we kind of condition people. In fact, the main obligation of parents is to not condition the child, but to find out what is the swadharma of the child and encourage the child in that area. But what we do is we condition the child with what we think that the child should become. So, like we compare the live flower to a plastic flower. We are making everybody plastic rather than being authentic and original. So life has been compromised for the sake of living. This is what we have been saying in Vedanta. Vedanta is a science of life. What you do today is living, survival. So in the battle of survival, you tend to lose your life. And since everybody almost is doing this, you kind of believe that is how you should live. So what Vedanta is saying, Vedanta is never against life. In fact, Vedanta is life positive. Since we do not know how to live, Vedanta tells us to compromise on life and somehow exist. See, this class happens for 1 hour 15 minutes. In this 1 hour 15 minutes, how much of the time are you existing here and are you living here? If your concentration goes here and there, and probably you are only living here, being here totally in body, mind and intellect, maybe for half an hour. Rest of the 45 minutes, only physically you were existing. Similarly, we are existing more in this universe and living less in this universe. So it's not the number of days, it is how consciously and effectively we live our life. So he says your life will be better even if you live few days and die, but executing swadharma, functioning in swadharma, rather than living for long time but in functioning in paradharma. This is the advice Lord Krishna gave. Now Arjuna is asking a question, very pertinent question. Let us see what it is.
అర్జున ఉవాచ అతకేన ప్రయుక్తోయం అతకేన ప్రయుక్తోయం పాపం చరతి పురుష అనిచ్చన్నపి వాచ్నీయ ఫలాదివ నియోజిత అర్జున ఉవాచ అతకేన ప్రయుక్తోయం పాపం చరతి పురుష అనిచ్చన్నపి వాచ్నీయ ఫలాదివ నియోజిత.
Arjuna Vacha, Arjuna said, remember the entire Bhagavad Gita, the question and answer session between Arjuna the disciple and Krishna the guru. It is basically discussion. We have always maintained that knowledge is never given, it is always
taken.
Here the Shishya is taking the knowledge from the guru using questions. So here he is asking Lord Krishna, Ata kena prayuktoyam papam charati purushaha. By what impel does man commit sin? Human being commit sin. Papam charati purushaha. Man, human being, commit sin. How does anyone commit sin? What is impelling them, compelling them, propelling them, forcing them, coaxing them as it were to commit sin, though against one's own wish? Nobody would want to consciously go and fall into the pit, right? I do not want to fall into the pit, yet I fall into the pit. What is forcing me? This is what Arjuna is asking. Because it cannot be that Paramatma or the Supreme or God, as it is often called, would want you to fall into the pit. He has no interest in you falling into the pit or not falling into the pit. So it cannot be the Paramatma scheme. Nor do I wish to fall into the pit, yet it seems I fall into the pit. Isn't that the case? So who is forcing? Is it my son-in-law? Is it my mother-in-law? Is it my father-in-law, daughter-in-law, my friends, my enemies, my society? Who is it? Arjuna is asking this. So what is the problem? Where is the problem? Though against one's own wish, O Varshneya, O Krishna, constrained as it were by force, bhala diva niyojita. It seems so powerful that one is almost forcefully does it. Morning you say, I will not smoke, I will not drink anymore, right? So Paramatma is not going into your mind and forcing you to drink. You have also decided, but there seems to be something forcing. What is that? Don't you think this is a sensible question what Arjuna is asking? Should we not know? Because very often we think that force is somebody else. Oh, you know, my friends came in the evening, they were forcing me to have drinks. So you do not know, we are living in a society in karma pata. Okay, karma pata. What will I say? Karke jao. What will I say? I have to say in my broken Hindi. Now you know, because you already think it is they who are forcing and you have no choice. So, in other words, you believe deeply there is something else. Now Arjuna is asking, what is that? And in fact, if I can fix it right, my life will be taken care of. Because there is something that is there, which I don't know what it is and where it is. And many people are believing that it is out there and not within them. So Arjuna is asking this question because Krishna has been talking about it in detail. So he says, I do not want to withdraw if there is some force wanting me to withdraw. Similarly, Duryodhana once in Mahabharata says, I know what is right,
I know what is wrong, yet I am forced to do what is wrong and I am forced to not do what is right. Isn't this what is happening to all of us? Do you require to be told what is right, what is wrong? Bhagavad Gita is not a moral book. Please remember this. We have always given this example. Once you switch on the light, negative cannot breed. Negatives can only be developed in the dark room. So Bhagavad Gita is only interested in switching on the inner light, the awareness in you, the consciousness in you, the Atma in you. Once the Atma is triggered, the consciousness is triggered, once the light inside is switched on, thereafter you will not go into negativities. You will not fall into the pit. So you need not be told what is right, what is wrong. You are not a small child. It is not a method of propagating morality. You understand? But if you live by Bhagavad Gita, you will be moralistic. That's what I am trying to say. You will not go against morality. You will be ethical. You will not go against ethics. But you will be an original thinker. You are not going to become, you are not going to succumb to the totality's blind beliefs or blind concepts. They may have their own concepts of ethics and morality. You understand? So that is different. But you will never be unethical. You can never be immoral once you have imbibed the Gita. Though Bhagavad Gita do not directly tell you, do this, don't do this. Even in the Gita, after explaining everything in detail, even to Arjuna who surrendered and asked, and who is his very close friend, still Arjuna doesn't say, do this only. He says, Yata Ishyasi Tatho. Do what you like. You understand? Yata Ishyasi Tatho. To such a close friend, somebody who surrendered, after explaining everything in detail, he says, you do this. Because this is not something, anything cannot be forced. Anything forced is never forceful. So, Dilogan is also asking, what is, he's not asking, he's saying, I know. So we also know. Don't you know? But invariably, you do what you think is not to be done and not to what you think is the right thing to be done. So what is it that is forcing us? Where is this force coming from? Always we need to get to the root cause. Without getting to the root cause, if you start believing that is where the problem lies and you try to solve the problem from that end, your problem is never going to get solved. In fact, in the world today, everybody keeps on blaming something outside and they go on trying to solve the issues, but it never gets solved. Somebody divorces and gets married, and again divorces, again get married, again divorces, again get married, thinking that the problem is outside. We are not saying you should not divorce, we are not saying you should not get married. That's not what we are saying. But in the belief that as if that is where the problem is, you get rid of that person. But then again you get into trouble. You change one country to another country. You migrate. You think once you migrate to that country, you will be perfectly in peace. But after a while, you are not happy there as well. So where is the problem? This needs to be analyzed. Once you can find that out and set that right, then wherever you are, you will be happy. If you don't set that right, then whatever is provided, even in the heaven, you will be in hell. This is what William Cowper is saying in his poem, Pineapple. Our dear delights are often such, exposed to view but not to touch. The sight of our foolish heart inflames, we long for pineapples and dreams. With hopeless wish one looks and lingers, one breaks the glass and cuts his fingers. But they whom truth and wisdom lead can gather honey from a weed. Can gather honey from a weed. Now, our life is much better, yet we are not in happiness. That's why we keep saying, if you were, you think Krishna had a fantastic life, but Krishna was born in jail. He was separated from his parents. His uncle was waiting to kill him. Right? So many problems he had to face. So if you were to exchange your life with Krishna, you would be miserable because you do not know the art of contact. He knew the art of contact. So what is Vedanta? What is Gita? Art of right contact. That is all. An electrician comes, he knows the art of right contact with electricity, and also he deals with it. You do not know the art of right contact, you are scared. Huh? The knife has to be sharpened and you are given a rough stone. You make it more blunt and you blame the stone for it. But the guy who knows how to contact the knife with the stone, rough stone, he sharpens it. So the problem is not in the stone, the problem is in you not knowing the art of right contact. So Bhagavad Gita is something that makes you to contact the world correctly, appropriately, rightly. Not something that will take you away from the world. A lot of people think, if I go to Gita, I will be forced to give up things. Here Arjuna was wanting to give up, Krishna is telling him that is not the right thing. So Gita only makes you contact the world rightly. Next verse.
श्री भगवान उवाच श्री भगवान उवाच कामयेश क्रोधयेश कामयेश क्रोधयेश रजोगुण समुद्भव रजोगुण समुद्भव महाक्षणो महापाप महाक्षणो महापाप विद्येन मिह वैरिणम विद्येन मिह वैरिणम श्री भगवान उवाच कामयेश श्री भगवान वाच द ब्लेस्ड लॉर्ड सेड काम एष क्रोध एष रजो गुण समुद्भव महा अशनः महा पापा विधि एनम इहम वैरिणम. This is the enemy. Know this to be the foe here. All devouring, all sinful. Maha Ashana means great eater, great consumer. Who is considered to be the great consumer? Desires. Not America. You understand? Desire is the same thing. You are right. Desire. Mahapapa, it is the all devouring and all sinful kama and krodha. Arjuna asks, what is forcing? It is the divine principle in us? No. Neither do I consciously want to fall into the pit. But there is something forcing. What is that? So Lord Krishna says, it is kama and krodha. Kama means desire. Krodha means anger. They are not two different things. Modifications of the same thing. He is only mentioned kama and krodha. It is actually kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya, bhaya. Kama, desire. Krodha, anger. Madha, arrogance. Bhaya, fear, lobe, greed, matsarya, jealousy, matsarya. All these things are there. Kama, krodha, lobe, all these are modifications. When your desire is fulfilled, you want more. Pepsi Ad says, give me more. You understand? Give me more. You want more and more and more. When the desire is fulfilled, lobha has come. When the desire is fulfilled, another problem. What is that? Bhaya. somebody will take it away from me. You work so much for your name, and then there is fear that your name will be spoiled. How much I work for Kula, honor killing, name, everything I have attained. See, you spent so much time and effort in attaining a certain status, even whatever level it might be, whether it is financial, that is not the difficulty. The difficulty is in retaining it, maintaining it, isn't it? Like Shakespeare says, reputation is an idol, most false imposition, half got without merit and lost without deserving it. Reputation is an idol, most, what is saying, it's an idol. A reputation is an idol, most false imposition. You understand imposition? Going on repeating, he's a very good man, he's a very great man, he's a very good doctor, he's a very good lawyer, he's a very good this, very good man. Going on, everybody going on repeating, gagging you. You got a reputation. Most false imposition. Often got without merit, lost without deserving. You have not done anything wrong. Suddenly the ruler. You go over here saying, everybody said it's a great man, you repeat, you receive it. So suddenly they start saying, no, I made a mistake, it's not a great man, useless fellow. Achha, he's a useless fellow, you understand. And you give so much importance to that. Name. Reputation is an idol, most false imposition. So, fear, bhaya, somebody will take it away. And when the desire is interrupted, anger. You will not have it. How dare you talk to me like that? Immediately anger comes. Right? Then, when the desire is fulfilled, you have more than others, arrogance. You have less than others, jealousy. All these are, and then you are deluded by these desires, moha. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsari. Delusion. Delusion means your thinking goes for a toss. You absolutely lack clarity. Right? So he says, the problem is kama and krodha. Basically he is saying, it is emerging from rajas. Each individual is made up of sattva, rajas and tamas. We discussed this before, right? Sattva, balance, equanimous mental temperament. Rajas, restless, passionate, desirous mental temperament. Tamas, indolent, lazy, lethargic, inertia, mental temperament. All these three are there. So he says, the problem is that which comes from rajas, which is tamas equal to sleeping. If he walks only, he'll fall into the pit now. He's sleeping. So why talk about that fellow? And sattvic fellow is, there is nothing in him obstructing him, his vision. So he is seeing it clearly and he is not feeling, falling into it. Rajasic fellow doesn't want to fall into the pit, but his vision is blurred, obstructed by kama and krodha, means desire and its modifications. The problem is desire and its modifications. Right? You remember that poem Pond we discussed? Did we discuss poem Pond here? We must have discussed maybe. Pond. Pond is a poem called Pond. I forget the poet's name. It's there in the Select English Poems book by Swamiji. There was a chick
who was friendly with duckling. We discussed that, right? So the chick was cautioned by the mother bird not to enter the pond. And the chick says, it reasons, chicken's intellect. Then it reasons, my beak, my this, my that. Then finally it says, my beaks are pointed, their beaks are round. Is that any reason why I should be drowned? The first thing it sees is my feet. And then it dismisses it. The actual reason is the feet. The thing is, you can't see. You become like a chicken. And then interestingly, later on the chick says, I am really remarkably fond of water. Excuse me. I am really remarkably fond of
water.
So the intellect is clouded, shrouded, covered by the desire. Sattvic fellow sees it, doesn't fall into the pit. Rajasic fellow doesn't want to fall into the pit, yet he falls because his intellect is colored by desire. Since your desire is coloring you so much, you take the benefactor to be the malefactor, malefactor to be the benefactor, all these habits. King Lear was really remarkably fond of flattery. His third daughter spoke the truth. First two were flattering him, fell for it. Ravana was really remarkably fond of Sita. Oh, yeah. You understand? Desire. You don't have enemy from outside, your enemy is sitting inside only. And today, it is all pampering the desires. That is marketing. It is Mahashana, they have understood that. It's a great consumer. The potential of being a great consumer is there in you. Kya karo? Put that desire in that, you understand? Put that desire. Make it attractive. Create a scene as if you do not have it, you don't have the status symbol. Then the desire is once the bug has bitten you, you will go and want to have it. Mahashana. Fire. Fire is Mahashana, because how much ever it consumes, it is always what? Ready for more. It doesn't focus on what all I have consumed. What else is there for me to consume more? Never satisfied. So that is what is saying, Mahashana. And all sinful. The sin is basically the desire. That is why we say, in fact, in every religion, desire has been portrayed as shaitan. Like Hinduism, they call it Asura. Buddhism, they call it Mara. Christianity, Satan. Islam, shaitan. So the actual shaitan is who? Your desire. You keep on finding it. Your likes and dislikes. Anger is a form of violence, and any violence is sin. The moment, so the potential for violence is what? Desire. The moment you have a desire, it is not fulfilled, you become angry. There are some people who suppress their desires, suppress their anger, I mean. The others may let loose. Like I said, the guy who let loose is every now and then, he's like a pressure cooker. He's releasing the pressure every now and then. There is another guy who's like closed champagne bottle. You understand? Just opens up and the whole thing goes. He's capable of even going and murdering. Compressed everything. So the real problem is desire.
likes and dislikes, attachment. This is the problem, this is the root cause. Instead of dealing with that, we are dealing with everything else. That is why Swami Vivekananda said, you conquer the mind, you conquer the world. Vedanta is the knowledge of self-management. It teaches you how to manage your desire and go beyond your desires. Unless you manage your desires, you are a potential threat to yourself. Because your desires can, one desire is enough to destroy you. Desire is like a bacteria. One bacteria, if you inject in somebody, what does it happen? What does it do? One becomes two. It dissects itself and reproduces. One becomes two, four, eight, 16, 32, 64, it goes up. Right? So, if you really want to finish somebody, put that desire in that fellow. You don't have to, and I'm not suggesting that you do that. I'm just kidding. Desire is enough to destroy. Isn't it? All we do is self-destruction by not dealing with the desire correctly. If you can be objective to the desire, you can achieve things. If you become subjective to the desire, you get destroyed. Desire is a great fuel that way. That needs to be under your control. But the problem is, you are under its control. You can use petrol and fly heights. Or you can use petrol to burn yourself. This is what you are doing. All devouring. This is born of the quality of rajas. And he calls it as Vairinam. He uses four words from now on. One is Vairinam, Nitya Vairinam, Paripandinam, Shatru. All means enemy. So who is your enemy? Nobody else. Your own mind. Your own desires. And we are playing with desires like playing with fire. You are encouraging the desire. And it's very entertaining. There's no doubt about that. It's quite entertaining. But it finally finishes you. You go on indulging. What happens? There comes a time when you don't get the pleasure from it, yet you can't be without it. That is called neutralization. You get addicted to alcohol, you can't be without it, yet you are not getting the kick from it. You are finished. You become a slave. Every addiction is like that. So, Kama, Esha, Krodha, Esha, Rajoguna, Samudbhava. It's coming from Rajas. That is inside your own mind. So don't waste your time in trying to set the things outside properly. First, set your house in order. Then, in fact, only then you will be capable of setting the outside in order. How are you capable enough to set the outside in order when you have not set your own house in order? Truly speaking, who can reform the world, if at all? Is somebody who has reformed himself totally. When you yourself lack eyesight, vision, how can you help anybody, any blind person cross the road? You yourself do not have eyesight. And you say, I want to save so many people. As if first you know how to live. We are great masters when it comes to giving advice to somebody else, isn't it? When it is our own problem, Same thing we do. If I ask you now, what is the first thing to do when a house is on fire, let us say, God forbid.
Shut the means.
Then only call the fire engine or whatever. Right? But you will notice now, God forbid, if your house is on fire or you are in some place there it is in fire, you will not have this objectivity. You will run helter-skelter. So we are all, when it comes to others' problems, great problem solvers, solution givers. When it is our own, the sight our foolish heart inflicts. Once the desire comes and it blurs our vision, then we do not, then finally after destroying everything, we realize, oh my God, I shouldn't have done. But it's too late. Isn't it? A lot of people look as if they are fine, not because they do not have desire or they have control over their desires. It is because they do not have enough opportunity. There are a lot of seeds inside the earth, but the earth is remaining brown. But the moment rain comes, little shower comes, what happens? So many people are looking, very calm and quiet, thinking. So everybody thinks they have opportunity. Before 92, after 92 in India, when the markets opened, before the market did not open in India. Now all the it is not as though earlier you did not have those desires. Now the opportunity is there. Markets are open.
Kindle the desire.
Absolutely. That is terrible. Both. So in other words, you can't be waiting for praying to God, don't give me opportunity. You understand? It is just a question of time. In other words, we are all thinking that we are all great Mahatmas. Just when the right opportunity comes and strikes, then we will know how much strength we have. Isn't it?
So, but we have to begin from a good thought now. So we think we are good human beings, so ultimately...
You say you are bad or good?
No, like the thought. Like you just said, we think we are Mahatmas. So all I'm trying to say is that if you start thinking in a correct pattern,
we have the potential, we are potentially Mahatma, we have the potential to reach there. But at the moment I can't be foolishly, blindly thinking I am good. Just by thinking mentally nothing is going to happen. Right? So what we are saying is, we are not saying think negatively, I'm useless, I'm not saying that. Just understand the potency of desire. Which is there in me also. So when somebody else is caught, see, one of the things which really happened, which they showed in all these television channels, I think I saw in these television channels only. In Bihar, a few months or years ago, one fellow was supposed to have snatched somebody's chain. A young fellow, for whatever reason, and they lynched him. And he died. The mob caught hold of him, lynched him, and he died. You just need some sort of justification to express and how much anger was there in you to go to the extent of killing that fellow. How correct and how justified are you? You are performing worse crime. You understand? We are not justifying that fellow's chain snatching. But it is just, you know, at the right moment comes, then there is devil in us which manifests. So what we are trying to say is, like Swami Chinnathaji says, before your wife kicks you, kick her. He puts it very light-heartedly. Means before the world. Wife means for the ladies class predominantly. So don't go to woman's slip or anything. It is just that anything outside kicks you. You don't know. You are sitting with the potential. Something came. Opportunity. Drop with each other. Confirmation. Second. You already have a
potential. You already have an interest in it. You already have
a spark. You already have the spark. Just require little fuel. That matches confirmations. Therefore he says, don't sit down quietly like this. Do something about your desire. Then when the opportunity comes also, you will know how to deal with it. This is the thing. I think that instance that happened in Bihar is the best example for all of us. We are all behaving as if we are good and we are very, very developed, calm, sensible, educated. When some situation comes, how you behave in your servants? Especially when you find them at fault. You just need to know that they have done something wrong. You caught them red-handed. Many times you forget something, you miss something. Something very valuable. And you forgot. Somewhere you left it. Immediately, what did you think? Maybe they have stolen it. Then later on you find out that you only forgot it in the bathroom or somewhere. Then how bad you feel? You understand what I am saying? Maurice MacLean says, happy and blessed are when wickedness stands forth revealed as goodness bereft of a dint. Happy and blessed are, H-O-U-R. Come on. When wickedness stands forth revealed as goodness bereft of a guide. You will be happy, and that time is the blessed time when you are able to understand. When the wickedness stands forth revealed, you understand that it is only goodness, goodness bereft of a guide. And the guide is the scriptures. We are not saying only Gita. Gita, Quran, Bible, Jobi. All these are your guides to set your house in order. Swami Ramakrishna says, wanted reformers not of others but of themselves. Again, I keep saying, even though I am coming and connecting these classes, what inside me keeps on telling me is, this is an opportunity for you to talk to yourself. Like he is very interestingly, he says, lecture to yourself, not to others. So this is an opportunity. But if I keep on talking alone, they'll put me somewhere else. In these classes, it's a good opportunity. You understand? So it's reforming yourself. So kama esha, krodha esha, rajo guna samuttava. So the goal of life is to move from tamas to rajas to sattva and to transattva, not to stagnate anywhere. For a person who is at the tamasic level, desire is better. So he needs to move. But for a person who is in rajas, he is to move to sattva, and those who are in sattva, he needs to move to transattva.
So what is transattva?
Transattva is realization. Beyond sattva is Brahman, Atman.
धूमे नाव्रियते वन्निहि धूमे नाव्रियते वन्निहि यदादर्शो मलेन च यदादर्शो मलेन च यतोर्भेनावृतो गर्भः यतोर्भेनावृतो गर्भः तथा तेनेदमावृतम् तथा तेनेदमावृतम् धूमे नाव्रियते वन्निहि यदादर्शो मलेन च यतोर्भेनावृतो गर्भः तथा तेनेदमावृतम्
Three examples he gives, Lord Krishna here, as to how the desires cover somebody's intellect. Dumena avriyate vannihi, as fire is covered by smoke. Fire is there inside, but it is all covered by smoke. Adarsha mirror is covered by dust. Mala
means dirt, dust.
As an embryo is covered by the womb, embryo is covered by the womb. So is this covered by it? In Swamiji's translation, you will see this with capital T. Right? Atma. The Atma in everybody is covered by the three guna. Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. Sattva is covering the Atma just like how smoke is covering fire. Little bit wind, passing breeze can take away the smoke and fire becomes evident. But sattva is also covering. But little effort is enough to remove sattva. There is effort chahiye, lekin little. That is enough to remove sattva, then atma becomes self-evident. Then second, just like our mirror is covered by dust. When the mirror is covered by dust, you need to take a duster and wipe it. Passing breeze will not do. Thoda aur effort chahiye. Right? That is how process is covering Atma. Then, how tamas covers Atma? Like an embryo is covered in the womb. What you can do? Wait for 9 months. I know, like Josh Willick said, the trouble with most folks is not so much their ignorance, but the knowing so many things which ain't so. Tamasic fellow thinks he knows. Rajas is a typical trait of Rajas is confusion. Typical trait of tamas is ignorance. And typical trait of sattva is clarity. Sattva knows what it knows, what it doesn't know. Rajas is confused. Tamas is totally deluded. It thinks it knows. I know. I have understood. I know. Like that everybody talks, right? I know. Of course I know. And don't you know this? So, ignorance, confusion or delusion, confusion, clarity. So, tamasic fellow, you can do nothing about him. He is so deeply covered, the Atma in him is so deeply covered. He is also spiritual, essentially Atma only. But his Atma is covered by the desire, the tamasic desires, so deeply that you have to wait. What else? You can do nothing. Also, if you take this to mean intellect, buddhi, then it becomes small t. You can interpret it that way also. This is covered by it. It means desires. How? The job of the fire is to give light and warmth. That is covered by smoke and prevents the fire from doing its own. Isn't it? The job of the intellect is to give you direction, clarity, but it is covered by desire. And the job of the mirror is to reflect. But that is prevented by the dust covering it. It is not able to clearly reflect. Similarly, the intellect which is covered by desire doesn't function clearly.
You say, no, such an intelligent fellow, how did he fall? In his area of weakness, his desire got succumbed, intellect got succumbed.
So we are all passing judgment on others. Now if you understand these things, you will never pass judgment on anybody. Because you understand, poor fellow, his weakness area, he was hit. You are not hit in your weak area. You remember that story in Mahabharata? The duel between Bhima and Duryodhana. The weak area of Duryodhana was his thighs. So Bhima was hitting him there. When you are struck there in your weak spot, then you should fall. It's not as though you are a strong person. You also have a weak spot. So, sattva, rajas, tamas, all these are covering, like how smoke covers fire, and dust covers mirror, and child is covered in the womb. Child's functions and everything is covered by the womb. Totally. It's not functional. So in other words, basically he's trying to say, if you don't keep your desire under control, it eats up your thinking. Mahashana, it not only eats the object of desire, it eats the thinking also. Thinking capacity is eaten, gone for a toss. We hear the stories of this economy debacle in US and every other country. The very interesting stories you hear, like the share market was going up, the house properties were, rates were going up, and the banks were lending loans at a very low interest rate. All these guys went for the loan, got the house, right? And they started investing their money in the share market. Share market fell down, property rates fell down, lost their job, they committed suicide. There are fellows, when the house rates started growing, increasing, you are allowed to take about 80% of your the cost of the house in loan, right? Maximum if you are eligible for it. So these guys have been probably paying loan for the last 10 years. And they took loan for $180,000. They already paid some $50,000 or whatever. Let's say. So and the house has gone up. So they are eligible for more loan. They went on more loan and bought another house also. And both properties, rates fell down. They were finished. People who were living in $1 million houses are now homeless, rendered homeless. They may give so many other reasons. So many companies which
face debacle. Why? Desire, greed, 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 greed.
This gets in, you know. Once you get into that, then that goes slowly and covers your intellect, it covers your thinking. You, day after you think, you invest and then you become successful. You think, I don't know how to do business, yeah. Don't tell me how to do it. You just stick to your profession. I know this, isn't it? Because you're also successful. See, when you go to the gambling center, I'm told they pump up the oxygen level a little bit so that you are in a high little bit. So you can't think clearly. And it's all dim lighted, you know, all very conducive for not thinking. Loud music, all sorts of things. And then, the free also. That is another thing. Free. You understand? All making you so that you don't think. And very interestingly, when you go and gamble, if you gamble with, let's say, $100, you're not going to straight away gamble $100, you will put $10, $5, like that slowly. In between, you will also win $50, $60, $100, $1,000. They give you that feeling of you are a winner, you can win also. That is how they make you lose all the $100. Not only that, you will go and get your credit card. You in fact, nowadays you can gamble with credit cards. So this thing that you succeed, you understand, you gamble with your life, with your desire and greed, and you succeed also. So now you know, I know how to do, I have understood how to do these things. I have never lost. And you will do it more. And suddenly you, once you see all $100 gone, now what to do? I just get that $100 back. You understand? So they make you win in between. People start gambling centers, more and more gambling centers. Why? Obviously because it is profitable. And not as though you, everybody who goes and gambles not win, they also win. You understand? This is what the desire does to you. Every now and then you keep winning. So you think you know how to do it. Then it finally finishes. But you don't understand. So Gita says, Maha, if you forget everything, don't forget this at least. Maha Ashana, consumer. You become the greatest consumer once desire is put in. The object was outside. They have to make sure that the thought of that object is triggered inside you. Then you will go and buy it. Not otherwise. So this is how the desire is covering the intellect. And in the fraction of second you do things which you repent for your whole life. So in other words, the enemy is within you, which is in the form of desire, which is stemming from rajas, and that desire covers your intelligence. Sattvic desire also covers your intelligence. There are people who told me, sir, at times when you cancel the class, I don't know what to do. Tuesdays. You kind of get attached to class also. Something things also. Saturday means I have to go to this mandir. Otherwise, I don't know what to do. These are, you know, all these desires are covering your intellect. You, and the interesting thing is to the extent you are covered, you don't know that you are covered. When tamas covers you, you do not know that you are covered, and on the top of everything you think you are seeking clear. There are specimens. They exact, you know, like conditioned by totally by alcohol. This is my house, and they are lying next to a gutter. And they are very clear that is their house. You can do nothing about it. Right? As somebody who is very close to them, friendly, you try to pull them away. You let them abuse you, do whatever, you take them, and then tomorrow morning only when they become sober, they'll understand. This is how it covers, desire covers. So, Rama was only an instrument. But who was actually killing Ravana? He himself, his own desires. You understand? Nobody else needs to come from outside to finish us. Our own desires of jealousy, greed. Because of jealousy, Othello strangled Desdemona. It's all. He's a good guy, Othello. But he, jealousy. Right? He goes and strangles Desdemona. And then when he comes to know the truth, he kills himself first. Guilt. And because of greed for power, what did Nakbar do? Kill his own benefactor, Duncan. Then he says, Nakbar murdered sleep, murdered sleep. Thereafter he could not sleep. Right? Everywhere if you see, it is only desire. And yet there is no program, no education focusing on teaching to children about desire and the need to deal with it. On the contrary, we pamper the children with the opportunities. And then say, oh, they got addicted, this got addicted, that got addicted, what else do you expect? Did you give them the knowledge? Did you pamper them with all sorts of opportunities, options? And obviously, they may get addicted to something. So who is at fault? You not realizing the importance of educating oneself on self-management. That is why we say this knowledge is the king of all knowledges. In fact, Lord Krishna himself says it is the supreme knowledge, supreme knowledge of all knowledges, supreme most knowledge of all knowledges. Why? Because if you do not know how to manage yourself, you can't manage anything. And yet, we say, study this knowledge after 16. Why itna jaldi? How can you study Gita or Quran or Bible or anything, any scripture, when you are 60 or 70? It is talking about self-management. If you want to really live your life totally, you need to first equip yourself with this knowledge. Before you plunge into the swimming pool, you need to educate on how to swim. Yes, the coach will teach you, taking you to the swimming pool. But you shouldn't learn, you can't just like that swim and say, I will learn somehow. You can't. You may drown.
Krishna, I mean, you know, journey where desires are there. They know that there are no desires in our life. In front of us will always be there, but where desires affect us.
So the only, it's not that you want to suppress them, you don't want to control them, nothing. So it's only an observer where you can observe that sometimes you succumb to them, sometimes you experience them, sometimes you don't. But as an observer when you are seeing it, then you can slowly with practice overcome.
Yes, that's what he's going to say next verse.
Because you can't suppress them, because even if you suppress it, it becomes less.
Yes. Neither can you indulge in it.
Huh? If you indulge, it will become like a fire here.
Exactly.
So the
so you need to deal with it directly. Direct the desires. That's what we keep saying. You must direct your desires. Work for a higher cause. All that we'll discuss when we get to the next verses. But in these verses, he's just saying, Arjuna's question was there, Krishna's reply, and he gave beautiful three examples. You should not forget these examples. Covering. Extremely intelligent. Huh? Succumb to one weakness. So many cricketers' careers were finished. I don't want to take names. Just desire could not be happened. See, they all come at a very young age, you know, to the international scene. At that age of 16, 17, 18, 19, they get international accolades. The newspapers are writing about them, people are standing and clapping. And if you see when they go abroad, even in India, sure, but when they go abroad, people give them all sorts of gifts, most expensive ones. Somebody invites them for a dinner, takes them for shopping, everything is provided by them. You know, you suddenly go in a, you do not know what to do. And you get succumbed to those things. You got distracted, lost focus in your game, finished. So many people's career has been finished like this. The other guys also probably didn't do it wantingly. I hope they didn't do it wantingly. But then you know, at that age, you need to really guide them. This is the job of the management. Right? Such a great talent going waste, neither useful for him, nor useful for the country, for anybody.
But even the Olympic Association is getting banned.
Huh?
Olympic Association. Such a shame.
That's a different matter.
No, but that's all like basically greed and desire.
Absolutely. Nobody goes to the root cause of it. Even this ego. See, very simple. If you can manage your desire, like we keep asking this question, who is really rich?
Content.
One who's desires are less than his assets. One whose desires are more than his assets is poor. You may be worth crores, but if your desire is more, you will feel poor. You may be worth less financially. If your desires are less, you are saving in your career much more. So it's managing your desires. Economy. But the problem today is everybody start to borrow. Shakespeare says neither a borrower nor a lender be. But if you talk about those things today, you will be oust. He said, please excuse me, are you? Please go. You don't want him. He says, borrowing dulls the edge of husbandry. These are all 17th century, 16th century story, Baba. Abhi, please don't tell us. You understand? Borrow! They teach you to borrow, right?
And not return.
Huh? Forget not return. There is no intention to return.
Borrow with the intention.
Anything, please. See, we already did those verses. Don't forget those verses. What are the verses? 12 and 13. Don't forget those verses. He talked about tamasic, rajasic and sattvic persons. Tamasic fellow eats without producing. He is verily a thief. Rajasic fellow cooks only for himself and eats him. Sattvic fellow eats the remnants of. All this tamas and rajas looks very attractive and lucrative in the beginning. It finishes you. Really finishes. The sooner you rise, the sooner you fall.
there will be a steady growth. You know, shortcuts, doing this and that, we may come up, but we will soon go down. That is very, very dangerous. But we don't realize that. We give it to it. We set up, then we sum.
पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।